Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, the voice you're about to hear is probably a familiar one. You might have to dig deeply to figure out who it is. Well, okay, I won't make you do that. Instead, I'm going to introduce you to that familiar name and voice, Dr. Gregory Eastwood, former president of SUNY Upstate. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning. It's great to be back.
Well, and actually, you didn't really ever leave, did you?
No, I physically left Syracuse and SUNY Upstate in June 2006, a little over 2 years ago. I went to Cleveland, Ohio to be the president of Case Western Reserve University for an interim period. And then I stayed an additional year, not planned initially, but I stayed another year to direct a new ethics center there, but always with the intent of coming back to Syracuse and to SUNY Upstate to lead my new career in bioethics.
Well, I want to remind listeners that you were the president of SUNY Upstate when you didn't really retire from the position, although you kind of did, right? You retired from one thing and just took up another one.
I try to avoid the term retire.
Good for you.
but I do. It is true that I was president here for a little over 13 years. I started here in January 1993, and I was planning to step down and take a sabbatical for a year in the beginning mid 2006. And this other opportunity came up fairly abruptly, and I took it, and I'm so happy I did. It was better than actually taking a sabbatical.
There you go. Well, you know, what I love about your story and about not really leaving was that you wanted to be back here in Central New York because of your interest in ethics. And you actually started the whole ethics, bioethics department at SUNY Upstate while you were president, didn't you?
Well, it was certainly under my regime, let's say, in the late 1990s, 98, 99, I had conversations with Dr. Kathy Faber-Langendoorn, who was newly arrived as the medical alumni professor of ethics, and Dr. Robert Daly, who had been here for a long time as the Deering professor of humanities. And together, they plus an advisory group came up with the notion of creating what is now the Center for Bioethics and Humanities. And that started in 2000.
You know, it is fascinating to me. And as listeners know, I do a lot of writing about issues and conundrums that we patients run into on a regular basis. And I love the fact that you have an academic medical center that has a department of bioethics because you address a lot of those conundrums. Was that very forethoughtful on your part 10 years ago? Were academic medical centers not doing that yet? Were you kind of following suit with others? What was going on then?
Well, it's somewhere in between. We certainly were not the first to develop a center, or now it's also a department of bioethics and humanities. But we were among the wave, the first part of the wave of that. And, you know, it should be no mystery that this is a very necessary thing in medical schools. The advance of science and of other aspects of the human condition is far ahead of our ability to cope with many of these things in terms of ethics and other approaches. And so to have a Center for Bioethics and Humanities is really, I think, a thoughtful thing and a necessary thing for a medical school and an academic health center.
Well, you know, I absolutely agree with you. We've actually had several guests from the department. Dr. Kathy Faber-Langendoorn, who you mentioned just a minute ago, Dr. James Dwyer, Robert Olick. We've talked about everything from buying and selling organs on the internet to world health issues and those kinds of things. And those are the kinds of things you're talking about dealing with.
Yes, yes. We hope in future times with you to talk about these things, either I or others that we recruit to come to the program. Some of the issues that come to mind that I think are of great relevance to people listening would include things like personalized medicine.
Now, and let's talk about what that is for just a moment, because I'm not sure that everybody understands the term.
Well, personalized medicine is a notion that comes out of the Human Genome Project. The Human Genome Project began in 1993 or thereabouts, was culminated in 2003 under the directorship of the National Institute of Health, specifically Dr. Francis Collins, but it included input and researchers from literally all over the world.
Right.
And what it did was to identify the 20,000 and more genes in our human genome.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about all the implications of that, but one thing is that we now have the possibility of identifying your, mine, anyone who's listening to this program, specific personalized genome.
Yes.
What your genes are, if you have predispositions to diabetes or hypertension or colon cancer or breast cancer or something like that. So that sounds good, but there are also implications of how we use this information for you as an individual. Also, what about your insurance company?
Or your employer.
Or your employer.
That's right.
Now, there is a law that the president that was passed by both houses of the United States Congress mm-hmm. and signed into law last May by President Bush that is supposed to prevent discrimination
yes.
from your employer.
And it was based on discrimination law, wasn't it?
That's right.
We've actually done an interview about
that.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yes, we have.
So you know about that, and you're all up to date on that. So, but there are many other implications. And also, what does this mean in terms of the population at large? This creates a bit of a tension between the individual
mm-hmm.
as a patient
mm-hmm.
and the millions of people in this country and around the world as potential patients.
Well, and sometimes they are what we would consider almost fairly simple questions. If you can look at my genes and tell me what I'm going to develop as mm-hmm. I age, mm-hmm. do I want to know?
That's right.
Do I want to know that I'm going to have Alzheimer's disease?
Yes.
Do I want to know I'm going to develop diabetes?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to know because I can take steps now to prevent them?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to know that I might die younger than I think I'm going to die? Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
These will be fascinating, and we should tell listeners that what our intent is now is to have you come in on a regular basis mm-hmm. to talk about some of these issues. What are some of the other issues we might talk about?
Well, there's, of course, end-of-life issues.
Mm-hmm.
These are, everyone thinks about this in some form or another, either personally or with a loved one. We could also talk about what's called complementary and alternative medicine.
Yes, and that's something I hear from people a lot. They want to be able to talk to their doctors about these other kinds of remedies, but they're not even necessarily looking for the evidence they work.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's something that we could talk about at some mm-hmm. time.
I think patients are reluctant to discuss some of these things with their physicians because
yes.
they think their physicians may not approve.
Yes, that's right.
Which may be the case or may not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
More and more in this medical school and other medical schools around the country, physicians or physicians in training are learning about complementary and alternative
Excellent.
Medicine.
Well, that's good news. And mm-hmm. the word integrative, just meaning
yes.
where you put what we call conventional medicine
mm-hmm.
together with alternative
mm-hmm.
and complementary mm-hmm. therapies. What about something like allocation of resources? One of the things I'm concerned with, I'm 57 years old. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so now I've told everybody. I'm a baby boomer,
mm-hmm.
and as I get older, I'm concerned there won't be enough primary care physicians
mm-hmm.
to take care of all of us baby
yeah.
boomers. Is that something we can talk about?
We certainly can talk about that. This has been an issue for many decades. Are we producing enough physicians to really take care of patients in the first sort of line of patient care? And it's becoming even more acute now. This allocation of resources is a very, very interesting conundrum, really, because we are so used to going to the doctor and expecting the doctor to focus on me as
yes.
a patient,
mm-hmm.
what my needs are, and the expectation is that everything will be done.
Yes. I call it the Marcus Welby expectation.
Yes.
Everybody
oh, yes.
thinks
yes.
it's Marcus Welby. That's right.
But, we do have brothers and sisters, family members, people who live in our town, our city, our country, around the world, who also may have similar expectations. And the fact is that we just do not have enough resources
we
to
do
treat
not.
Everybody to the nth degree.
We do not. And a lot of people think that universal health care is the answer to that. And what
mm-hmm.
they don't understand is the minute we are universal, then that cuts down on the resources for individuals.
That's correct.
And that's part of one of the questions. Great. So we can be talking about those. And Dr. Eastwood, I would love it if listeners would participate as well. I'd like to invite them, as a matter of fact, to send us an email or give us a phone call with some ideas they might have.
I would really encourage that because we want to make this relevant to the people who are listening, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have the conceit that the things we've mentioned already are of interest, but there are many, many things. This is almost an inexhaustible area or
I
domain.
Would agree with you. I think people run into conversations at work or maybe in their place of worship, in their everyday life, where they just, they have questions and they are ethical questions. They don't know how to answer them. So I'm going to give them our email address and our phone number. That's HLOA, HealthLink on Air, at upstate.edu, or call us at 464-4545 or 1-800-464-4545. And you can give us your ideas on what you'd like the conversations to be with Dr. Eastwood. Well, Dr. Eastwood, thanks so much for coming by this morning. We're glad you're back in town.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really glad I'm back.
I am too. Listeners, we do need to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is University Hospitals HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.